Let's put our hands together. Let's put our hands together and just get ready. Get ready for something good, because God would like to do something good here. God would like to do something good in your life. And we find the goodness of God as we open up His Word, and we're going to be opening up the Scriptures, our Bibles, to Matthew chapter 1, the very first chapter of Matthew, and then as well to Hebrews chapter 11. If you're new to Bible study, Hebrews chapter 11 is a very important chapter in the Bible. It has the list of heroes, men and women who are heroes in their faith, and I'd like to get added to that list. Come on, where are the men of faith in the room? Where are you? Where are the women of faith in the room? I want to get added to that list. And let me tell you, you can make it. You could make it onto that list. If you're sitting here and go, oh, not me. You don't know my life, Scott. I am a mess. Got good news for you. God can step into the middle of your mess and turn it into a miracle, because that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus stepped into this world, into the mess of Bethlehem, and He turned that place into a miracle. And everywhere Jesus goes, miracles take place. And it doesn't matter who you are. I've got good news for you, and it's the theme of the month for us. God is with you. Come on. He wants you to know this in the hectic struggle, the financial struggle, the relational struggle, the messes of this stress-filled season. Here is the heart of the Lord. Listen carefully. Hey, I'm with you. I am with you. Now, many years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah said, hey, I want you to know a virgin's going to conceive a baby. That's going to be a miraculous sign to the whole world. And here's what it's a sign of, that Emmanuel, God with us, is going to enter the world. That prophecy is repeated in Matthew chapter 1, and that's where we are, Matthew chapter 1, as we read these words. And so all this was done. Pause. Look this way. The all this that was done are the verses that come before this one, which is 22. So it's starting at verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4. And they're very exciting verses. They're like the family tree of Jesus. They're like following the begotitudes. So-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot. Some of you skip that. You know, this is just boring. I don't know why God put this here. Why did God put this in the Bible? But all of this, first 17 verse, all of this is part of the promise of God being with us. So we're going to dig into the family tree of Jesus a little bit today as we talk about God being with us. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. That was the prophet Isaiah. If you're taking notes, in Isaiah 7 and 14, and if you take notes, you get a big mansion in heaven. Amen. Here's what the prophet said. Behold, the virgin, that was Mary, shall be with child, that was Jesus, and she will bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is translated this way, God with us. Let's say that together. God with us. Everybody, God with us. Share it with your neighbor. Go ahead. Share it with your neighbor. God with us. And here's the great thing about Jesus. He chooses to be with the most unlikely people. Like in his ministry and in his teaching, he hung out with people that were surprising. He chose followers that were surprising, tax collectors and fishermen. And at his birth, the angels appeared to shepherds. These were all unlikely people. And when you look at his family tree, hey, there's some unlikely people in his family tree. Hey, how's your family tree? You got any crooked branches? You got any people in your family tree that nobody likes to talk about? How about some skeletons in your family closet? Come on, what are they? Let's have a few moments to just share that. You know what? Because God shares his skeletons. His crooked branches. I remember when a skeleton fell out of our family closet. You're all interested now. Here's what happened. I was talking with my granddad, and nobody knew that granddad had been a moonshiner. Nobody. And I'm sitting with him, talking to him at the table, and he starts telling me how they used to cook it, where they used to make it, how they used to hide it, where they used to run it. And everybody in the room, the family had been all doing their thing, just me and grandpa were talking. But all of a sudden I noticed nobody else was talking. They were all leaning into the conversation because they were learning stuff. Granddad was a moonshiner. Who knew? The amazing thing about Jesus' story is he doesn't hide the crooked branches in his family tree. When he came to be with us, he came to be with people just like you, with all of your junk, all of your funk, and all of your mess. That's good news. And he advertises, I don't know if you're writing like a family biography of your family. There are some chapters or some people you may skip over. I don't know if you would put these people in your tree. Especially if the book you were writing was going to become a bestseller, which the Bible is. The bestseller of all time. And it's an eternal book. The Bible says that the scriptures will endure forever. That means these people are connected to Jesus forever. And there are some scoundrels in Jesus' family tree. Why? Because when Jesus came to be with us, he came to be with the saints, God bless you, and the scoundrels. And he comes to be with us and people that we love. Let me just pull some of the people out of the tree that Jesus was born of, his family tree. Let's first look at Jacob. Jacob is there. Here he is. He's mentioned in Jesus' family tree. In verse 2, Abraham begot. There it is, begot. He had a son named Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob was born as a twin. He was born a few seconds or a few minutes after his brother Esau. When he came out of the womb, he was holding on to his brother's heel. And his name literally means heel catcher, or the guy who will trip you up. Why? Because Jacob was a deceiver. He used deception and manipulation and cut corners, because basically people are deceptive when they don't trust God to work things out. Listen to that. I'm going to say it again. Basically people are deceptive when they don't trust God to work things out. They've got to get involved. They've got to work things out. They've got to look good. They've got to move the system. And here's what happened. Before Jacob was ever born, God had put a prophetic destiny on his life. God spoke to his mother, and here's what God says. And how many know when God says something, it's going to happen? It just is. And how many know when God says something, it's going to happen, and you don't have to, like, push the hand of God. You don't have to be deceptive. Listen, let me say it like this. You don't have to be deceptive to get God's stuff to happen. So listen to this. Here's the prophecy, Genesis 25. The Lord said to her, that was the mother, Rachel, two nations are in your womb, and two people will come from within you, and they will be separate. One people will be stronger than the other, and the one that's going to be stronger is actually the younger son. The older will serve the younger. And that was not what was done. We all know that the oldest in the family is the cream of the crop. Come on, somebody. It's got to be an amen or two in the house. We just know. And that's how the older got something called the birthright, the special blessing. But here God promised the special blessing to the younger one named Jacob. But Jacob couldn't wait for that to happen. He had to deceive his brother. He had to cook up a special stew. And one day when his brother was really hungry, his brother said, could I have some of your stew? He says, yeah, sure you can have some of my stew if you'll give me the birthright, if you'll give me the special blessing. I can't wait for God to give it to me. I need you to give it to me. I'll trade you the birthright for some meat and some delicious stew. And he tricked him. And his brother said, yeah, I don't really want it anyway. He was a deceiver. Then as he got older and his father was coming to the day that he was going to like pronounce the blessing to give the birthright away, he deceived his father. His older brother Esau went out into the field to hunt and to get some food to feed to his dad. And while his brother was out hunting, Jacob like cooked up some good food. He must have been good in the kitchen. Cooked up some good food and brought it into his dad. And his dad said, who are you? He said, I'm Esau. Come here. Because Jacob was very, very smooth. His brother was very hairy. Anyone, his dad said, I want to check you out. I want to check you out. I'll make sure you're the right guy. And he put on some animal hair to deceive his dad. His dad reached out, he could hardly see. You know, that's hair. Are you? Yeah. I'm Esau. And so he put the blessing. He deceived his dad. But here's what happens when you are a deceiver. What you sow is what you reap. I'm just telling you, if you live in deception, if you're always trying to manipulate, trying to work things out, he created so much tension in his family that he had to leave his family. That was sad. He had to leave his family because of his deception. He had to leave his family. He went into a far country. He met a guy named Laban, and guess what Laban did to him? Laban deceived him. Because what you sow deception, it's going to come back and bite you. Yeah, thank you for that yep. That was better than an amen. That yep was better than an amen. It's just true. So because Laban has a daughter, Rachel, Jacob really wants to marry. He says, could I marry her? Could I marry her? Yeah, but you got to work for me for 7 years. Oh, no problem. I'll work for 7 years for that girl. And he works 7 years, and it comes to the wedding day, and Laban puts on a really heavy veil on the wrong daughter, marches her up to the front, Leah, and marries Leah off. And what a surprise when they lifted that veil. Oh, you were deceived. And he said, you want Rachel? You got to work another 7 years. When you're deceptive, it breeds deception. But one day, God changed Jacob's life. Because even though he was a deceiver, even though he was a manipulator, God was not far from him. Jesus, Emmanuel, the presence of God, is with people who are struggling even today with deception. He shows up and has an encounter with Jacob. They duke it out. They wrestle it out in the wilderness. And God changes Jacob from Jacob to Israel, from the one who is a deceiver to one who is connected with God. There's a moment of change because God came onto the planet to be with people who struggled with deception. I'm sure you know nobody like that. I'm sure you never deal with, yeah. So you're dealing with that? Or you have some of it? He changed them so radically that in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the Hero's Hall, guess whose name we find in the Hero's Hall? We find an intro. Watch this. In the Hero's Hall of Fame, what name does he have? You can read ahead. It's there in your study guide. By faith, Abraham dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents, with Isaac and Jacob. Well, I thought God changed his name. He did. To Israel. So here he's, in fact, if you find in the Bible, those of you that read the scriptures more often, you would know that God is called oftentimes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and anyone? Jacob, which is interesting, because didn't God change his name to Israel? So why does he continually be known as Abraham, who actually had a name change as well from Abram to Abraham, right? But he uses Abraham's changed name, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because when he came to be with us, he's saying, hey, I came to be with you before the good stuff started to happen. I was with you when you were a deceiver. I'm a God of the deceivers. I'm a God of the ones that try to manipulate and turn things. I'm that kind of God. That's why Jesus came to this earth, to help change people like Jacob, and he identifies with people like Jacob. Yeah, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who I am. And to me, that's good news, that he came to be with me when I was broke and broken, and he picked me up, and he changed me, and he identifies with me in my brokenness. God with us is good news. Hey, let's look at another person. In Jesus' family tree, I don't know if you'd mention this kind of family member in your family tree, but there's Rahab, a prostitute. There she is in Jesus' family tree. Rahab, a prostitute. She's in Matthew 1 and 5. Solomon begat Boaz by Rahab. And we know Rahab was a prostitute because the Bible tells us she was. Joshua chapter 2, we see she was a prostitute. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim, and he said, go and look over the land and look over Jericho especially. That's where Rahab lived. So they went in and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there. Now, we don't know why she became a prostitute, and most prostitutes don't choose the lifestyle. It's because of economics, it's because of abuse, it's because of exploitation. We don't know Rahab's style, but we do story, but we do know that when these two men, these men of God who were sent from Joshua, entered into her home, she knew that God was with them, and she had a change in her heart. She said, hey, God is with you, and I want to be with you. I know Jericho is going to fall. Jericho was her city. Jericho was impossible to conquer. Its walls were too high and too thick, but she believed in her heart, hey, they say the city will never fall, but I know God is with you, and I know Jericho is going to fall, and I want to be with you because I want to be with God. Even though I am a broken woman, could God take me in? And the answer is, anyone? The answer is, absolutely. Why? Because Emmanuel, God with us, and he takes this woman out of Jericho and he puts her in his family tree. And who do we find in the hero's hall? Who do we find in Hebrews 11? We find Rahab. It's amazing. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. And by faith, and here's the designation, the harlot, the prostitute, Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies in peace. She had a change that said, hey, God is with you and I want to be with God. Could God take me in? And he said, absolutely. When the city falls, we're going to make sure you're safe, because God loves broken women. Should have been an amen. He loves them. I don't know about, you know, our family story, but we're very glad that God is with broken women. God used a broken woman in our family story to help my grandfather, the moonshiner, come to faith in Christ. My grandmother got saved first. She received Christ. She was a mature woman. She received Christ. Totally changed her world. Totally changed her world. She raised her son, who was my dad, thanks be to God for that, raised him, and he became a minister. She raised her daughter, my aunt, and she became a missionary. My grandfather, Keith, he was hard-hearted. And so many people would tell him about Christ. And so many people would say, hey, do you want to join the family of God? And he always was resistant. My grandmother would go to church spiritually single. Maybe you've come today spiritually single. Let me tell you, hang in there. Hang in there. Keep praying. Because one day my grandfather, who had been talked to by the pros. I meant pros as professional men of faith. And pastor would come by the house, and they would talk to Keith about Christ and say, Keith, do you want to receive Christ? No. My dad, minister, trained. Hey, you want to receive? No. His daughter, you want to receive Christ? No. One day he's sitting at a table, and Shirley starts talking to him. And Shirley used to be a prostitute, but God was with her, and God changed her life, just like Rahab. Rahab used to be a prostitute, but God was with her, and God changed her life. And Shirley starts to talk to Keith about Christ and about faith. And she shares her story of how Christ has changed her life. And then she said, now, Keith, don't you want to receive Christ? And he said, yes, I do. I'm glad that God was with Shirley, so that she could bring a guy named Keith into the family of God. So when I go to heaven, I get to see him, because God is with broken people. He is with broken people. He came onto this planet to be with broken people. He was with Jacob. He was with Rahab. What about David? David the cheater. Was he with David the cheater? Oh, here's David's story. First of all, he's in the family tree for sure. We know that. Verse 6, Jesse begot David, who became king. He was a shepherd who became king. And watch this sentence. Watch this. You're studying along. Watch this sentence. And David begot Solomon. Watch this. By her who had been the wife of Uriah. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't even use her name. Doesn't use the mom's name. Now, we know the mom's name. The mom's name is Bathsheba. You want to read her story? And David's story? It's in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Story goes like this. David, king of Israel, steps onto his balcony one day, and he's like just looking over the land, and he stops looking at the land, and he starts looking at a woman. And she was beautiful, and he wanted her. Just parenthetically, let me say to guys, especially that struggle with lust, don't look. That's true. That's just good advice, right? Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. If David didn't look, he wouldn't have got in trouble. And I know some of you think, well, it's the second look that gets you. Just don't take a long first look. That'll help too. If you don't look, you can't lust. And if you look, oh, quickly, don't look. Okay, don't look. David looked. He said, I want that one. I want her. He's already married. He's got a wife, but he wants her. She's not his wife. So he cheats. He brings her to the palace. He has sex with her. She becomes pregnant. Oh, then he has to kill her husband. His name is here, Uriah. Broken. Probably one of the lowest points of his life. He cheats with another man's wife, and then he kills the husband. But watch this. God was with David and wanted to redeem him, because that's why he came. God was with David and says, David, I don't want you to stay in your brokenness. And he says this to every person. Maybe you're here today in your brokenness. God says, I don't want you to stay in brokenness. I don't want you to stay where you are. There is a moment that you can come to God. And David came to God, watch this, and he repented. He changed. Just like Rahab had a moment that she said, I want to be with God's people. Just like Jacob had a moment that said, I want to receive the blessing of God, and I'm not leaving until I receive it. There was a desperation in their heart to change, which brought them to repentance. And if you will repent, the God who is with you will change you forever. And who do we find in the Heroes Hall? Of course, we find David. Not even a long description of him in Hebrews 11, but his name makes it. And what more shall we say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also David, and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouth of lions. Do you know that after David fell and came back to God, after he did that, he wrote scripture? Isn't that amazing? That this guy who cheated went on to write more Psalms. He wrote some before, but he wrote some other. We have Psalm 32, and we have Psalm 51, and we have Psalm 86, and we have Psalm 122. After he fell, God used him because God was with him, and God redeemed him, and that's why Jesus came. That's why he came. So if you're broken with deception, or you're broken with exploitation, and you're broken with bad choices, or you're broken with cheating or immorality, hey, good news for you. Jesus came so God could be with you. And even when you're messing up, he's not far. It's closer than the next breath you're about to take. Or maybe you have a loved one. Maybe you have a loved one that's messing up and you wonder if there is any hope. I'm here to say absolutely yes, there is. Because God's with them. God's with them. God's trying to speak to them. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus chose one of his titles, and you'll find one of his titles in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 when he calls himself the Son of David. Isn't that interesting that he chose for a title to be known as the Son of David? Didn't David mess up? Didn't he choose to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What is he saying? He's saying, hey, it's okay. When you mess up, I'm still with you. I'm there to bring hope and healing. I'm there to take the weak and make them strong. I'm there to take the hopeless and give them hope. I'm there to take the lost and find them because I am with them. And you may need that message, or you may know someone that needs that message. And we need to pray in this season in particular that the God who is with them would change them, that they would come to a moment of repentance, because some of them were around church last weekend for the first time in a long time, thanks be to God. And some of them will be here on Christmas Eve for the first time in a long time. And we need to pray that God will be so with them in those services that they'll have a Jacob to Israel encounter, that they'll have a Rahab encounter that says, I don't want to stay where I'm at anymore. That they'll have an encounter like David who says, I have messed up, but Lord, wash me and restore to me the joy of your salvation. Do that in me, and that's why Jesus came. He came to be with us so he could change us. Glory be to God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord. Let's stand together for prayer. Let's close our eyes. Nobody moving around except those who are prayer ministers who are coming to pray with you and for you, because I said it earlier, and it's true. There's a miracle in the house, and it has your name on it. And we want the Lord's presence and power who is with us. Oh, he's with, oh, but you say, I'm broken, Scott. I'm broke. Doesn't matter. He's with you. Look at the people he put in his family tree. Forever he's identified with the deceiver. Forever he's identified with the prostitute. Forever he's identified with the man who messed up big time. But when you mess up, God comes to pick you up. And that's good news. So the one who is with you, closer than you could ever imagine, the one who is with you desires to be part of your life, at the very center of your heart. And we want to pray, and we want to believe, and we want to receive what he would do in us today. And we do that by faith. Put your faith in Christ. I put your faith in Christ, and he will make all the difference in the world. There is no one that he cannot reach. There is no one that he does not push aside. He came to be Emmanuel, God with us, with the most unlikely people, with you. So here's our prayer. I'm going to lead in a prayer. And we're going to pray it together, and we're going to pray it out loud. Because the Bible says, believe in your heart, that's good, but confess with your mouth. And we want to make a good confession. to our Lord, to our Savior, and welcome His presence and His power as we pray right now. Let the Holy Spirit come upon you in life-changing power. Some of you for the very first time, some of you for the first time in a long time, you are not too, God would like to do something in your heart today. He'd like to bring change. He'd like to bring renewal. He'd like to bring restoration. He'd like to bring that joy that you used to have back into your soul. He'd like to change you. So let's welcome His presence. Let's welcome His presence to change us as we pray out loud together. Everyone joining us, please, 100%. Let's pray. 100% people praying this kind of prayer. And just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I welcome Jesus into my heart, into the very center of my life. I repent of my sins, and I turn away from them. And I receive your forgiveness and your grace and your love and your mercy. Thank you for being with me. You have always been with me, and I want to be with you. I want to be in Christ. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed by the power of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. That's a good prayer. Amen. That's a good prayer. It's a good prayer. That's a life-changing prayer. And these next few moments are life-changing moments. They're moments of prayer. We bring people to prayer all the time because prayer changes things. And right now, the power of agreement is available for you. You can pray individually, but the Bible says when two or three gather, something incredible happens. And so we want to pray over the needs of this place. Whether you're coming to Christ, whether you're coming home spiritually, whether you need healing, whether you need family to be healed, whether you need whatever your need is, whatever your need is, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, come and receive prayer. Let God do something. And while prayer is being given, the communion tables will open. If you'd like to receive Holy Communion and commune with Jesus in communion, you're most welcome. Let me tell you, you don't have to be a member of this church. All you have to be is someone that loves Jesus and follows Jesus. And you can come and receive the bread. You can receive from the cup of the Lord. And you can remember Jesus. Think about Him. Think about Jesus. Think about Him. And say, Lord, thank you for always being with me. As you take the bread and you take it in, say, Lord, thank you for always being with me. In Jesus' name. If you've been a guest here today, we are so thrilled you've come. And we want you to come back. We want you to grow in the Lord. We know God has amazing things planned for your life. Destiny that you cannot imagine. And we want to see that be fulfilled in you. If you've been a guest here today and you've never stopped by our hospitality room, please do it before you leave. You can come for prayer. You can receive communion. But stop by the hospitality room, which is over on the left-hand side. Some gifts we'd just like to give you. If you need a quieter place to pray, you can slip back there as well. People will pray with you. And we just are thrilled you're here. And just make this a good week. I know there's lots of things on your agenda this week. Make sure you spend time with Him who has come to be with us. Make sure you spend some time with Him so He can strengthen you and encourage you. And never, never, never stop praying. Never stop praying for those who are far from God. Because these were unlikely people we talked about today. Unlikely. God puts them in His hall of heroes, and He puts them in His family tree because that's the kind of God He is. He's come to save that which is lost. Let's keep praying for them in Jesus' name. I want to pray one more prayer of blessing, and then there's no other benediction, but here's the blessing. You can come and pray, and when you're done praying, you can go with God's grace. Lord, I do pray right now for the power of the Holy Spirit to bless this house. I pray for the men in this room that they would be mighty men of God. I pray for the women in this house that they would become mighty women of God. I pray that we would know your presence, know your anointing, know your power that surrounds us always. And Lord, we welcome you to lead us and to guide us. We take a moment to pray and to bless those who are not here today, but we would love them to be here today. Thank you, God, that you are with them in this moment. You are speaking to them in this moment. We're praying that you will bring them to their senses in this moment, that the world may become become a better place because the kingdom of God is growing amongst us. This we pray in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord an ovation of praise. We love you. We thank God for you. Come forward for prayer, for communion, and may the grace of God be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah.